Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text. What happened? Text number 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chapter 3 is the Incarnations chapter, and this morning we're going to read about Prithu Maharaj. O Brahmanas, in the ninth incarnation, the Lord, prayed for by the sages, accepted the body of a king, Prithu, who cultivated the land to yield various produces. And for that reason, the earth was beautiful and attractive. Purport. Before the advent of King Prithu, there was great havoc of maladministration due to the vicious life of the previous king, the father of Maharaj Prithu. The intelligent class of men, namely the sages and brahmanas, not only prayed for the Lord to come down, but also dethrone the previous king. It is the duty of the king to be pious and look after the all-around welfare of the citizens. Whenever there is some negligence on the part of the king in discharging his duty, the intelligent class of men must dethrone him. The intelligent class of men, however, do not occupy the royal throne because they have much more important duties for the welfare of the public. Instead of occupying the royal throne, they prayed for the incarnation of the Lord. And the Lord came as Maharaj Prithu. Real intelligent men or qualified brahmanas never aspire for political posts. Maharaj Prithu excavated many produces. Production is the idea. From the earth. And thus not only did the citizens become happy to have such a good king, but the complete sight of the earth also became beautiful and attractive. I'll describe the storyline first and then instructive messages that Prabhupada regularly, when speaking about Prithu Maharaj, wanted us to understand. This whole topic is expanded later in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. In the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, it's continuing from the third canto, the line of kings from Swayambhuva Manu through his son Uttanapada and following Uttanapada's Dhruva Maharaj and so on, that lineage of kings. Because what we're going to find at the end of the fourth canto is still Swayambhuva Manu is the Manu. And there's a break in the line of succession of descendants from Manu, and so even Manu has a problem. He had to fix the problem. But the reign of Swayambhuva Manu and his descendants were kings. And in that line, there was one very pious king named King Anga. And he was good in all respects. Somehow, even a good, pious soul can have the opposite as a child, or vice versa. Like, vice versa, Srini Kashipu had Prahlad as his son. So it's not always that bad parents have bad children, or good parents have good children. Can be. Sometimes happens. Good parents have bad children. That's what happened with King Anga. He had a bad son. Vena was his name. And even from childhood, Vena was not just mischievous, he was like malicious. It was recess time from school, and the kids would go out to the playground, and he would kill his classmates for fun. His father was, etc. So his father was quite concerned. So he tried everything that good father can try to do to help correct this wild, vicious son. Got good teachers, disciplinarians. He tried this, he tried that, and Vena was incorrigible. So, not necessarily the best choice, but what he decided to do was just to leave. It was too intolerable for him. So he left the kingdom. Went to the forest to live in seclusion and finish his life in solitary devotion. So in the absence of King Anga, who was a good king, but even when there's good kings, there are thieves and rogues, they just hide. And they do less thieving, less roguery. But when Anga was gone, the thieves and rogues started doing their program, unrestricted. And the Brahmanas considered, we have to do something. We have to have a king. And Prabhupada explains that it's hard to compare how the people felt under the care of a qualified king when we've never had that experience. We've had, you know, elected officials, and elected officials don't have that capacity of that qualified kings have. It's perhaps comparable to a child without a parent. Child is naturally wanting the affection of the parent and is feeling protected by the parent and so on. So in Vedic culture there's no question of carrying on without a king. They didn't think, oh, let's have an election or we'll elect somebody. They didn't have democracy. We have to have a king. And we have to have a king. So, out of concern for the rogues and thieves and miscreants and people that will behave like that when there isn't somebody to check them, they decided, well, although he's wild and so forth, better to have Vena than nobody. So they installed Vena as king. And Vena didn't change, he got worse. Now he has all this position and power and wealth and he's the king. So he became total tyrant. He would ride about on his chariot, golden chariot, and intimidate people, just filled with pride. So now the brahmanas were in a big problem. They tried fixing one problem, but now they've created another problem. The Bhagavatam describes it like an ant that's in the middle of a log that's burning on both ends. What to do? He can't run to the other end because there's a fire over there. He can't run to that end because there's a fire over there. They were in complete distress, like that ant on a log. Considering we installed Vena, so we take responsibility for his heinous acts. And if we do nothing, then we become as responsible for his heinous acts as he is for his heinous acts. So we can't remain idle. And they decided that he should be removed. But rather than just like go and remove him, they went and tried, like Krishna did with the Kauravas, trying to provide them good counsel. One, you know, the last chance, here's the olive branch, please take it. They went to Vena and gave all the reasons why a king should be pious, but you're doing just the opposite. Anything that's pious, you're stopping. He stopped all the sacrifices. He banned performance of sacrificial ceremonies. Anything to do with religion is banned. So that's it puts him in the position of being God, being respected by all. Whereas he wasn't respected by all, he was feared by all. So the brahmanas gave him their good counsel. They came before him and they said, we've come to give you counsel. This is our prescribed duty, and they described also varnashram, the duties of each of the varnas are to be upheld. It's the king's duty to do that, and where that's neglected, what to speak of if you ban people from doing their religious duties, then the whole society is spoiled. So they made their best attempt. Vena flipped. Just became more angry and more abusive. And so they took the next step, which they had already decided they needed to do, but they wanted to give him a chance to rectify himself. So then through their Vedic mantras, they killed him. And then they had, so that one end of the burning log is taken care of, but then there's the other end, the thieves and the rogues. So they needed a king. So by Vedic procedure, they churned his legs of the dead body of Vena and produced a blackish-colored, disfigured creature. And that creature began immediately taunting and tormenting the brahmanas. So they chased him, and he fled to the forest. And then they churned the arms and legs, excuse me, the arms and the upper torso of Vena, and from that churning with Vedic mantra, they produced Pitu, a along with your prayers for the Lord to appear. So he appeared directly from the body of Vena, and he was an incarnation of the Lord. The category of avatar is Shaktyavesh. The jiva that's empowered by potencies of the Supreme Lord is a Shaktyavesh avatar. And his particular Shakti that he manifested was the ruling potency of the Supreme Lord, Palana Shakti. To do anything, it requires potency, and potency comes from the potent, from the Supreme Lord. So, to show by example the way of ruling, or the power of ruling, Prithu Maharaj appeared at a time when it was very much needed. So, there are several things that he did. Prithu, first thing is he restored performance of Vedic sacrifices for the purpose of the prosperity of his citizens. He himself engaged the royal treasury in the execution of Vedic sacrifices, with the understanding that the purpose of a king in performance of sacrifices is not for his own merit, but it's for the merit of the citizens. That's the sankalpa that comes at the beginning of a sacrifice. Is what is the intent or purpose or desire? And as the sankalpa is made, so goes whatever it is that's beneficial. So he was interested in benefiting his citizens. There's a whole section in the fourth canto of the intended 100 Ashvamedha Yajnas, and when he got to 99, Indra did the Indra program. He started thinking, oh, he wants to take over my kingdom. I have to stop him. So, at the time of the sacrifices, he did different things to steal the sacrificial horse. Came one time disguised as a brahmana, hid himself in the assembly of brahmanas to watch the whole program. And before the Ashvamedha Yajna, the horse was sacrificed, there's all some detailed rituals of what's done with the horse before the sacrifice. He went to that place because he was disguised as a brahmana. He was allowed entrance, and he took the horse. So, this happened a couple of times, and advice was given to Prithu, just, you know, be happy with 99. You don't have to do 100. Actually, you don't have to do any of it, because you're the personality of Godhead. And Indra's got the heebie-jeebies. He thinks you're after him. So, desist. So he desisted. But his interest in the performance of sacrifice was for the welfare of the citizens. As anybody who's truly elevated, if they're doing something, that something purpose has service to others in mind. So like philanthropy and altruism, that's people are also thinking, we should do something for others. And just keep going down and down and down the scale, and it just becomes just serve man, and that's service to God. Last visit to Chicago, Sri Vallabha's mother was visiting, and she was like a broken record on Manaseva Bhagavan Seva. You know, they attended our programs, heard everything, and at the end it was, you know, why don't you do something to help people? Manaseva Bhagavan Seva. By serving mankind, you're serving God. And just kept repeating it. Even, you know, reply this, reply that, reply the other, and man seva bhagavan seva. So, although misplaced on the platform of the body, the notion of a saintly person should be engaged in activity for the welfare of others is correct. It's piety. It's the beginning seed of selflessness, but when applied on the platform of the body instead of on the platform of Bhagavan, it's misplaced. It doesn't take one to the position of transcendental elevation. On the other hand, what Prithu was doing, these sacrifices, it was service to the citizens. But what, like what the Brahmanas had said to Vena was, when you serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he's the object of your pious works, he'll be pleased and you'll be benefited and all your citizens will be benefited. So that message the Brahmanas were giving to Vena was not heeded by him. Vedic example is exactly that. Just Maharaj Yudhisthira or Maharaj Ambarish, two immediate examples. They did so many things in according to codes of the Vedas, but their object of that act, the object of service, was the personality of Godhead. And because they were king, their interest was the welfare of the citizens. As far as Prikshit's concerned, it's a king is the servant of the people, while the people are thinking we're the servant of the king. But the king isn't thinking, if he's proper, he's not thinking, this is very nice, so many people are serving me. But he's thinking, by service to the personality of Godhead, I wish the welfare of all my citizens. When Prithu had his, there's some whole chapter dedicated to a public address that he made to his citizens. It's to help us understand how a good king rules. But when he made his public address, it was, first of all, thanking his citizens for engaging in their religious duties. And he explained that when the citizens engage in their religious duties, the king benefits 1/6 of their religious duties. So thank you very much. You're engaging in activities that are for the personality of Godhead and directly the king, because you're doing them, comes to the king. I'm very grateful. But then again, what comes to the king is not, okay, now I've got a bigger treasury, or I have more something. I have more followers, I have more prestige, I have, now I can go conquer new countries, and I've got a lot of people that will fight for me. Not thinking in selfish terms, he's thinking in terms of their welfare. So whether he's doing the sacrifice or they're doing the sacrifice and he receives the benefit or some of the benefit, he's thinking of how to serve an elevated person. Functions, and when it's the other way around. Bhagavan Seva Mata Seva. By service, by watering the root of the Tulsi plant, all the leaves and stems and everything receives the water. Benefit is distributed through to all of the citizens of a king by the king engaging in activities in service to the personality of Godhead. There's certainly other duties that the king must do, practical ones, but those are done in Krishna consciousness also if the king is properly situated. Prabhupada writes, it is the duty of the king to be pious and thus look after the all-around welfare of the citizens. My thoughts are going to our current president. People thought they had a good thing going. He's like such a contrast from the previous president. One of the first things, Peter Burwash brought this out. I didn't know it, but in his presentation, one of the very first acts of our noble president was he was pushing in Congress that third term abortions should be allowed. So I don't even know what third term abortion means, but it's, you know, after the first 6 months. Might as well just say, you know, have infanticide and it's fine. You don't want your child, let the child be born, kill the child, and it's okay, it's legal. So it's you have a ruler like that, then what's going to happen to the citizens? The next sentence, Prabhupada writes, whenever there is some negligence on the part of the king in discharging his duties, the intelligent class of men must dethrone him. Sounds like ISKCON. The double president has made a mistake, dethrone him. GBC so-and-so made a mistake, dethrone him. At least write a story on the internet. And so it goes. So Prabhupada is making a point that should not be misunderstood. These are qualified brahmanas, and the deviation of vena was not like some minor discrepancy. He was ordering the stopping of all religious performances. That's not just made a little mistake. Although he writes, whenever there is some negligence on the part of the king in discharging his duty. So the one side is, when accepting some responsibility, one should be negligent. And if there is negligence, it's grounds for dismissal. And in the case of a king, who's going to dismiss a king? If anyone's going to do it, it's going to be the brahmanas. Brahmanas have to be very qualified and very discriminating. That's a nice standard. If you're capable of producing the next king by dethroning the king, by churning his body with Vedic mantras, then you can dethrone a king. You have that qualification. On the other hand, the purpose of the brahmanas in removing the king is not so they can become the king. The brahmanas should not covet governmental posts or those kinds of positions, because the reason given is because they have duties of a higher nature. So what did they do? They prayed for an incarnation, and the incarnation came according to their prayer. And one of the other passages in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, can we turn that thing pretty intense? During the rule of King Vena, because he had ordered the stopping of Vedic sacrifices and so on, Mother Earth was restricting her supply. So one of the first things Vena did was he confronted Mother Earth and threatened her. You know, you have to produce. And she was responding, wait. Don't punish me. I was restricting because of Vena, and now you're the king, so I'll supply. Not like out of fear, but it was a very direct challenge to Mother Earth. And then we find in Sridham Mayapur, the explanation following the Bhagavatam's description that Prithu, seeing that there was need for more agricultural land to support the population that he was ruling, he arranged for the leveling of land for agriculture. So the Navadvip Parikrama version of this is that when the soldiers and government officers representing Prithu were traveling in the area of Navadvip, when they got to Prithu Kund, that area, flames were coming out of the ground. And when they saw flames coming out of the ground, they were very surprised and afraid. So they contacted the king, Prithu, and said, we reached this place and we don't know what to do right now. So he told them, stop. I will come immediately. When he reached there, he had this realization, forget exactly how that realization came, that this is a place where the personality of Godhead will appear in the future. And so in honor of that appearance place of the personality of Godhead, a kund was dug, Prithu Kund. And then a number of generations later, many generations later, the ruling dynasty at the time, father was Balal Sen, so his son arranged for expanding that Prithu Kund, making it much larger, and then he named that Kund after his father, Balal Diggi in the local language, or pond, or lake. Balal Diggi, and that place is still there. Very large area. Now it's an agricultural field right behind the Chaitanya Gaudiya Math in Mayapur. So that is mentioned in the purport here, that Prithu made arrangements for the expanding of agricultural land throughout the earth, so that the citizens would have what they required. Maharishi Prithu excavated many produces from the earth, and thus not only did the citizens become happy to have such a good king, but the complete site of the earth also became beautiful and attractive. Well, partly became beautiful and attractive just by having the personality God had present on earth, because when Mother Earth is feeling the touch of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, she's very happy. And when she's very happy, she produces a very nice supply of necessities. Trying to think if there's other particular features of Prithu. Yeah, the other side, the burning log with Vena on one side and thieves and rogues on the other, the thieves and the rogues, Prabhupada discusses this, they're always present, and they're just more active or less active. And a good king makes sure that they're less active just by his presence. And if you don't have a good king, you can have some ruler and they're just as active as if there's no ruler. So it's part of a good ruler's duty is to check that kind of an influence within society. And once again, by a qualified ruler, it's just by their presence it's checked. Okay. Any comments or questions on this, Prithu Maharaj? The rule for parents that are performing devotional service is Krishna gives them some service. So Krishna can give parents performing devotional service this kind of service, that kind of service, the other kind of service. Service. It's in Krishna's hand completely. He's not bound by any rules, because it's the rule of the internal potency. It's Krishna's rule. Commonly, amongst devotee parents, good devotee parents are going to attract a good soul to assist them going further in on the path of bhakti. That's common. But if Krishna has some other plan or purpose for those devotee parents, then he certainly can do as he wishes. He's not obliged. So devotee parents can think in terms of both. Primarily, my duty is to prepare to receive a qualified soul, and at the same time be prepared, if Krishna so desires, something else may happen, but his service. And How does it happen? In the case of Prahlad, the devotee being born of Hiranyakashipu, there's a story of Prahlad's previous life where he did some seva to Lord Nrisingadeva. At the same time, he made an offense to Lord Nrisingadeva, and so that was the birth that he received, the birth of a terribly demoniac father because of his offense. But the same to Lord Nrisingadeva, but at the same time, he was so dear to Lord Nrisingadeva. So there are different circumstances under which a qualified person might be born in not qualified parents or demoniac parents due to some previous life or some arrangement of the Lord for that devotee's elevation and purification. I guess the short answer is there's common rules that generally prevail, and then there's exceptions. And why those exceptions are there, generally speaking, for a non-devotee would have to do with something in a previous life, something reaction-wise that's unfulfilled. And now it's becoming fructified. Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.